Welcome to the Ridder Universe. My name is Blake Ridder. Joining me today is Sarah Alexandra Marks. She is what I call the Queen of Ridder Universe because she's been in a lot of my films, often with some interesting characters. And we're today going to talk about a little bit about her roles and that she's starting, as well as what she thinks about the industry, her acting tips and tricks for those inspirational actors who are listening. And anything else you want to discuss and throw at me. So welcome, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So you just tell us a little bit of background for those listeners who are new to you. What films you've been in, where you are right now, where did you come from?
Okay. So I originally started in the performing industry as a dancer. I started dancing from the age of say 3 or 4, I think it was. My mum took me to my first ballet class.
It's a very young age to start dancing.
Very young. Yeah. And I remember it very clearly, my first ballet class. It was awesome. And I just continued dancing ever since then.
Can you still dance now?
Of course, yes.
What kind of, still ballet dancing?
Yes, so I did ballet, tap, jazz, contemporary, cheerleading, Irish dancing. I actually competed professionally as an Irish dancer, and I reached championship level.
Wow.
My mum used to come with me to every single competition, which was pretty awesome, and we travelled the UK. I also cheerlead for the Harlem Globetrotters when they came to the UK, which was also a great experience and a lot of fun. And then probably in my early 20s, I was advised by doctors to have a bit of a break from dancing due to...
Because you were too good.
Well, yeah. And just some problems with my joints and that it wouldn't be a good idea to carry on professionally. Mm-hmm. So I knew I wanted to stay in the industry and I always enjoyed drama at school. And I did take a short course when I was doing performing arts at college within acting. So I thought I would just give it a go. And I had my first audition, which was for a indie feature film called Pulp. It was a comedy. And I got the role. So I thought, wow, this is amazing. And it was quite a big budget film. And we filmed that in Birmingham. And I had the best time. And that is where I got the bug for acting. And I feel like it was the universe.
How many years was that?
Oh, wow. That was in 2010.
You started 12 years ago.
Yeah.
There you go, everyone. Acting doesn't happen overnight.
No.
12 years of crafting and acting, right? And still going.
Exactly. I feel like I got that job so easy and it was so good. I feel like it was the universe pulling me in, saying, this is for you. This is how great it can be. And I thought, well, I got my first job, my first audition I went for, and it was so much fun, such a big set, a big crew, a big budget. And little did I know that it's actually the hardest industry that you can put yourself in for. But yeah, here I am. I'm still going 12 years later, hustling and pushing and working.
Yeah, that's good for you. So tell us a little bit about what sort of roles do you enjoy? I know you've played different types of roles in my films. We're going to talk a little bit about later, but what kind of role do you really enjoy playing? You're the first female guest I have on the podcast, so I haven't got anyone to compare with. But from experience, I found that women tend to like to play characters who are a little bit crazy, killer kind of style.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I don't have a specific character that I want to play. I just want to... One, I want to perform. I want to do what I love. You know, it's my craft. It's what I enjoy. And I will enjoy any character that I bring to life. So there isn't one particular role I like to play. I like to explore all different characters, all walks of life. And that's what I find interesting about acting, is that I can be a different person on every single project. And I can be someone who is completely far away from who I am, but I can make that a real person and bring them to life on screen. And that's what I find interesting. So I don't have a particular person or character that I like to play. Whatever you throw my way, I would take on. I would never say no.
Okay. You always like a challenge.
I do.
That's what I like about Sarah. She always likes a challenge.
Yeah, I do. I always like a challenge. And I always really like to play a different character in every film. I think it would get a bit boring playing the same character all the time.
Yeah.
Where's the fun, you know, in role-playing and, you know.
So was there any characters that you've played that you really, at the beginning you probably enjoyed, and then you get on set, maybe you look at your other colleagues and you thought, oh, I really want to play your character. Has that ever happened to you before?
Maybe a little bit, when with possibly specific scenes that they have that might seem fun to me. Now I was going to give an example of The Manor, but I don't want to give any plot twists away. But yeah, I guess so. But I always just try to embrace my character that I have in the scenes that they have, and just look on at other actors and how they perform and enjoy their performance they're giving when I'm watching.
So let's talk about some of my films. For those of you who don't know about Sarah, she's been a very long list of Ritter films. Let's go from the beginning. Okay, so A Simple Robbery, where Sarah played one of the main lead role who steal things from rich men on the quiet road.
Yeah.
That was the first time I met Sarah, together with Kim Spearman, who's also in my latest film, The Manor. So that was the first time we met. And then from there on, I'm trying to remember what roles you played. Obviously,
C600. It was Help afterwards.
C600, I'm just going backwards now from the most recent one. C600. Okay. Oh, yeah. The Help, the feature film, Help.
Then I did Santa for Hire.
Santa for Hire, isn't that short one?
Love Story.
Love Story, yes.
Yep, Psychosis. That was a really fun film. Psychosis. I really enjoyed that, actually.
My Dead Husband.
Yes,
that was another award-winning film.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Sarah won your first ever Best Actor Award in one of my films, right?
Yes, for C600. And that was actually probably my most fun role that I've had with you. Yeah, the one that I enjoyed the most. Because she was so quirky and so fun, and you know, I got to explore her and have a lot of fun with her, with Alina. I liked her. I also did like playing the AI in Psychosis, mm-hmm. because I liked what you required from her to, you know, have that touch of humanity within her. So I enjoyed that role too. That was a great short film.
And what do you think about those listeners who are getting the right role? Because some female actors in the industry, it's time to get pigeonholed depending on the looks or the way they act. How would you help them to see that, you know, they can achieve any role they want? Do you think there's a role that female actors kind of get pigeonholed into? Or you think the industry is starting to accept a strong female roles?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like the industry is changing with the female roles, and there's a lot of lead female characters in big studio films going right now.
Girl power.
Yeah, so things have changed a lot. But I don't think people are getting pigeonholed. And obviously you can get typecast, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, because you can also show that you can break away from that. I mean, ultimately, anyone who's in the industry, you just want to work. And if at the beginning you are getting typecast, you know, make the most of it and show what you can do with it. And then if you find yourself that's the only thing you're getting, then why not try and create your own work and create a character that you would really, really love to play and make it yourself and show the industry that you can do something else.
That's a good answer. I like that.
Good. I'm glad.
And any challenges that you faced within your acting career? For me, for example, I face challenges when there's time, not enough time on set, as me and you both have experience, and I tend to rush you around like, Sarah, you've got one take. I know you're good enough to do one take, and that's it. That's all you got. Those are my challenges. Sometimes I have writing challenges to get the right dialogue. My good friend Louis always has a go at me. It's my poor writing, as you know, sometimes. So what do you think you need to improve in your acting?
So first, the challenges that I do experience when I'm on set are what you just said, is only ever really getting one take. You know, time is of the essence. And unfortunately, in indie films, you don't have much time because time means more money. And that's something that sometimes you just don't have. So as an actor, you really want to be able to explore. And sometimes with extra takes, you can try things in different ways or get into it more. But sometimes we really don't have that luxury and we just get one take. And
yeah, sometimes I remember in some of the films we've done, where you said, Blake, did that make it look good? It didn't feel good. Can we have one more
take? I really want one more go, please. Yeah.
You sure you was good enough? I was like, yeah, Sarah, you're good. You was good.
And knowing that you always just say, yeah, it was fine, it was fine. And I'm like, really? I really like just one more. No, it's fine, it's fine. Luckily, I just trust in you. But that is one thing I would like more of, to be able to play, you know, when you're going for it, because you might create some magic that you didn't get before just from having one or two takes. And maybe you would then see something that you didn't actually see before or even think of. So that is something I would love more of. But I know that that is a luxury. I understand that time is everything on set. And
what's interesting that on the other side of the spectrum is that I was watching behind the scenes the other day on some of the films where I think it was the latest Spider-Man Homecoming. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, they were talking about some of the scenes the director wanted to get it right, and Tom Holland was just spot on and he doesn't complain, even if it's a physical physical scene he had to perform scene after scene, and you can tell he's exhausted because when he says cut, he just claps on the floor.
Yeah.
But he doesn't complain. And next day he comes again and do it. So there's that luxury of time. But then you will have to just keep doing that take over and over and over.
Yeah, but I love that.
Until you get it right.
I would love that.
Even if it's physical. Like, I remember you were telling me once that you got really sick.
I was
because you had to perform that physical running.
Yes. So I had this role in a movie. It was a feature film, a horror, and there was this one scene where I was having to run down a really long corridor constantly, and I was in a towel and it was in a bunker, so it's freezing and I'm always cold. Anyone who knows me, I'm always cold. It takes a lot for me to feel warm, so I'm doing take after take after take. And but that's me. I just want to keep going and I will never complain. I will never say I have to stop. I will push myself to the max. And eventually when they said, that's it, we're done, I was like, okay, I just need to step off for a second. And I just run to the toilet and I was sick because I've been running so much over and over and over. I made myself physically sick. I just used up all my energy and I wasn't having any water.
Right?
Yeah, of course I enjoyed it. It's just the fun of making film. It was an experience.
Let's talk about The Manor, which is the latest feature film that you've been produced by Louis James and Lucas A. Ferrara, which who will be on another podcast with me soon. So yeah, going back down to The Manor, that's your second Ritter feature.
Yep.
I understand you didn't get a massive role out of it.
Don't disappoint everyone.
Actually, no.
You want to make them watch it.
She might not be the leader role as you would expect from Help, but she's still a very important part of the story that puts everything together. How did you feel about that role compared to Help? Or your acting skills, do you think, improved since then?
Well, yes, I'd like to think I've improved with every project I do. That's the goal, is to get better every time and learn something from every film. And
you haven't told me what do you need to improve on from your acting?
Well, there's always room for improvement in every area, to be able to switch on emotions, whatever it might be, very, very quick, even with the disturbance of a whole crew around you, or, you know, people trying to talk to you and have a laugh with you. That's something that's actually really quite difficult. And an acting coach that I've worked with for a little bit, Gary Condes, he always says to me that's the biggest challenge that you find as an actor, is to be able to block out everyone else in the room, even your other fellow cast members, because if you need to be in a certain emotional state, you can't be distracted. you have to keep your focus. And that's so hard because one thing I really love to do on set is have fun. I want to enjoy myself with the crew, with the cast, with everyone. I like to have a joke and a giggle and play games. So I have to find myself, you know, discipline myself to get to that point, which I do. I take it very seriously. But I don't want to get too serious to the point where I'm just secluding myself in the corner and separating myself from everyone where I'm not even enjoying myself. So I think it's good to find that balance between the two. But that can be a challenge, mm-hmm. and I know I can improve on that. But yeah, I loved the manor, and I really like how you did the same thing that we had on Help, where we stay on location.
Oh, that was thanks to Louis, who's the producer decision on that one.
Yeah,
it just helps the morale, and
yes, it does.
There's no need to travel back and forth.
It's nice. You can feel really comfortable in your workplace, and you can wake up and you just go downstairs and you're on set. It takes a lot of stress away of traveling every single day, and everyone staying together. It's a really nice like community feel that you create, and
people
everyone
also,
feels like family.
Gossip.
Do you think there was a lot of gossip?
Yeah, I gossiped
so.
About a few people.
Oh, well, you like a gossip. You're Blake. But everyone got along so well. It was a really nice family feel.
Definitely.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. But again, the thing that we were against was time. Mm-hmm. But I think we managed it very well. And
we shot this film a couple of days less than
2 days, yeah.
But we had less pages. We had a lot more characters,
mm-hmm.
which that was a challenge for me, is to get coverage of all those actors and giving them time for them to get their lines right and then their performance right. But we did it, and it's in the edit.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good.
You did Rhythm Machine it at the end, didn't you?
You've just watched the opening scene.
I did. It's very exciting.
So, looking forward to the finished result.
Should
be a good one.
It will be good.
So... There are people out there listening. I know that they ask me a lot of questions, especially when I do live stream, things like that. How do you find the roles? Because you're the only actor that I know who are working full time without too much of a side gig. Or maybe you have a secret one. I don't know. but you do seem to have a lot of work. I mean, very prolific actor, like job after job. Is there a secret place you get jobs, or is there something you do that others not doing?
I just work hard. I work hard and I don't stop. You know, I'm actually quite hard on myself. You know, every day I have to make sure that I'm doing something towards my goal and my dream. Otherwise, I feel like I'm failing myself if I've not done something. I'm constantly on casting websites, putting myself forward. I'm constantly watching other directors' work and connecting with them on social media, sending out my reel to casting directors, to producers, making sure I have a good show reel, great headshots. There's always something that you can do. And even if you have an agent, you can't just sit at home waiting for your agent to call you with an audition or a job. You know, no one's going to work harder for yourself than you. So I always believe that you should put the work in yourself. And having an agent is a bonus. And especially if you find one that works well with you. So I just work really hard. And I even now I'm creating my own work. And for a couple of years, I've been writing my own short films. And ever since the first COVID lockdown, I thought, right, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to create my own content. But then I just become really, really busy, super busy. I still find time to write.
See,
I make
that time
sure
again.
I do that.
Is that time?
It's time. I know. I do. I make sure I find time to write because I think it's really good for me and just have that discipline to find half an hour at least to write on my laptop or even write it in a notepad or my notes on my phone. And to get that time to create something of my own, that is a goal of mine too.
What's the latest thing that you've written? Do you want to tell me a little bit about the story?
I've written a pilot, which is a sort of fantasy dystopian feel. Yes, so I'm...
What happens in it?
Well, I won't say just yet. I'm going to keep it close to my heart and keep it a secret.
There you go, guys. I've tried my best. She's not exposing her work yet.
Not just yet. I'm not ready for that. I'm still creating the story as a whole. As I said, I've just wrote a pilot right now, which I'm really pleased with, actually. But writing is something that I do struggle with, so I really have to push myself to do it. It's not something I'm comfortable with, but
it's just like painting the picture. Do you ever do painting?
I do paint.
Oh, there you go. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
It's definitely not just like painting a picture. I find easy, and I really enjoy that, and that is like meditation for me. But writing, I have to force myself to sit there and get in a zone to be able to write with no distractions.
Can you even give us a little bit what happens in it?
Well, you can guess. It's fantasy. So you can, you know, use your imagination and think about what that might be.
Just some quick fire questions. Films you like, actors you like, where you want to be in 10 years. Go.
Okay. Favorite film is Dirty Dancing. All-time favorite. I will love it forever. It makes me really happy. Favorite actors. One of my favorite actresses is Rachel McAdams. I really, really love her. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh yeah, he's good.
I mean, there's so many. I can't choose, but they're in the top list of my favorite actors. Directors. Spielberg. Jurassic Park is a big part of my childhood. I remember going to the cinema in Leicester Square with my parents, and I have really fond memories of watching Jurassic Park and the music. I love it all. My mum used to be so scared as well of Jurassic Park. She used to make me sit on her lap.
You've actually been in the film with dinosaurs.
Yes. It's not out yet.
But what's it called?
It's a working title, actually.
Oh, it's a working title.
Originally, it was called Jurassic Valley, but I believe that's changed. So I'm unsure of the title at the moment.
So look out for that if you want to see Sarah being chased by a dinosaur. Maybe she is chasing a dinosaur. You never know.
You don't know.
It's a plot twist. And so in 10 years' time, where do you see yourself as an actor? Because it's already been 12 years and there's a big, huge improvement since you finished ballet dancing.
Well, of course. Now. Yes. I just want to keep improving and, you know, hope to be working constantly on big films that tell great stories where I can bring to life great characters. I just want to be working and acting.
So maybe in 10 years you would have made a bunch of your own stories from your writing, your imagination.
Yeah, that would be awesome to be creating my own content. Definitely.
Possibly working with Jordan Peele.
Oh, yes, I love Jordan Peele. I love him as a director and a writer. I love Get Out. I actually love that film so much that I got the script and I read the script, and his writing is unreal.
Yeah,
like, he really inspired me with that script. I just think he's brilliant, and I like his storytelling, and I like how he keeps you guessing. They're the sort of movies that I really enjoy to watch.
What's your opinion on the film industry in terms of where it's going? Because I'm seeing there's lots of popular films like action, Marvel, those superhero films. Sometimes the indie films are hard to push through those barriers because, you know, they've got like a bunch of really good writers and producers at a call of a button, just, you know, and then people like me and you making even great content, but it's not getting through. But it's kind of changing a little bit with YouTube and different platforms. If you go to Amazon, for example, and you type Sarah Alexandra Marks, you see a whole list of films she's been in. So do you think, I mean, like 12 years ago when you started, I think it would be harder for you to get to where you are now because the technology has changed.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, because even just YouTube, for example, has changed so much. Just look at your channel and how much it's grown. And that's how you release the majority of your work on YouTube. And even on TikTok, when you release, you know, little BTS videos and shots, people then use that to get to your work on YouTube. And a lot of people have found your work from TikTok.
And your work.
And my work.
And TikTok.
Yes. So social media has got so powerful these days, and just to be able to put your work out there and spread it to people that you might not necessarily meet face to face. You know, you can share it with people all over the world on YouTube and on Instagram and on TikTok. So I think it's really powerful, and it is making it easier for indie filmmakers, which is really great.
Well, and actors to get more exposure.
Yes.
Because of easily accessible content.
Yeah, like of course. Yeah. And even as an actor, I can reach out to directors and producers and casting directors just through social media. And, you know, a click of a button, they can see a whole Instagram page, which is me. They can see who I am and
do you get the
what
opposite?
I enjoy.
Do you get directors and filmmakers reach out to you and ask you for auditions because they've seen your work?
Yes, I do. Quite a lot, mainly from Instagram. I get a lot of people contact me and say, oh, I saw you in, you know, just for example, Blake Ritter's film, like C600. Hey. It was really great. I really enjoyed it. So I get a lot of connection from mainly Instagram. Twitter also is very great, but I sort of don't use that as much as Instagram. But it is really, really helpful. It just helps you connect.
Especially with the pandemic.
Yeah.
One period that like up to 2 years we've not had a in-person film festival or anything that's interactive with people, so the internet really helped.
It's really helped, but that is a shame. I used to really enjoy going to film festivals
that's
and
still,
meeting
it's
people
coming
face
back
to
now.
Face. It's so nice to have screenings of films that you're in, or see your films at a film festival and then be able to talk with other filmmakers and actors afterwards and congratulate them or talk about how they got their ideas. So I do miss that, but I'm glad it's coming back.
Okay, Sarah, thanks for coming on to the Ritter Universe podcast. I hope you enjoy your time here.
I did, of course. Thank you for having me.
No problem. We'll do some more in the future, and we'll probably do a Patreon edition as well, where you can also get access to other exclusive content. Thank you, Sarah, and see you soon again.
Bye.